If you got Matthew chapter 12, go there with me, would you please? Matthew 12, I'm going to read down through verse 7 and then use verse 7 as our thought today. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, or walked through a cornfield. And his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. And ain't nothing wrong with that in my mind. I'd have put some butter and salt on and say amen. But when the Pharisees saw, by the way, you always have somebody who think they're spiritual. They're going to tell you and monitor your spirituality. Let me look at you right in your eyeball today. You're not that spiritual. Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. And Jesus thought he might have a little say with them because they didn't understand Scripture anyway. But he said unto them, have ye not read what David did when he was a hungered and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the shoe bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you, boy, get this, I'm already, I'm not preaching on this, I'll say this later, that in this place is one greater than the temple.
Amen.
You grab that in a minute. Here's what I want you to look at. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would have condemned the guiltless. I'll go ahead and read the last verse. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. But there's a little phrase that grabbed a hold of Preacher John in verse 7. But if ye had known. I'm going to preach on that with this thought. Costly oversights. Now, five things by way of introduction. In your estimation, can I ask you a question? What has been the most serious oversight in your experience? And by the way, we have all done that. And here's your catchword. We all done it. If I'd only known. Hello? I married that woman. If I'd only known. I got that job. If I'd only known. If you're Chad and Jared, if I'd only known. Have you ever overlooked an important assignment? If I'd only known. Have you ever overlooked an important business matter? If I'd only known. Have you ever overlooked an important letter? And you might say, if I'd only known. But I want to ask you, those oversights that you have committed in the physical realm, how about the oversights in the spiritual realm? And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Costly oversights. Last Sunday morning, I preached on mercy. Wednesday night, Chad preached on mercy. I'm going to have some more mercy in my message this morning. I want to tell you what, every one of you ought to grab a hold of heaven this morning and thank God that He is a God of mercy. You better thank God He's a God of mercy or you'll be hanging out somewhere where you don't want to be. But I'm glad, I might just preach right there, I'm glad He's a God of mercy. I'm glad He looks beyond my faults and sees my needs. I'm glad He can use a hopeless creature like me for His glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Mercy. Look what it said in verse 7. But if you had known what this meaneth, I have mercy and not sacrifice. I'm going to give you a verse up on the board that many of you have read it. It says in Lamentations 3:22-23, it is of the Lord's, say it with me, mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. There's some saints in this room and some sinners in this room that God wants to show you mercy. But you know what your whole problem in life right now is? You just don't know. If you die and go to hell, you're going to say, if I'd only known. If you let the devil beat you spiritually in your Christian experience, you'll say, if I'd only know of God's mercy. I'll say four or five things about it. It's right there in them verses, in verse 22 and 23. This is good. The fact of the Lord's mercies. It's the Lord's mercies. How many of you are glad that God looks at your heart? How many of you are glad that God doesn't judge you like men do? And I'm not talking about every man. There's some good men love God. They're not like that. And there's some good women love God not like it. But there's some people, let me tell you what, they look down their nose at you because they have no mercy. If you're going through a hard time, they have no mercy. If you're going through a struggle financially or whatever, they have no mercy. I want you to know something. I want you to know, look at me, the fact of God's mercy is He loves you and He is the Lord of mercies. And then the fullness of His mercies. In verse 22, it called mercies, plural. See, some of us say, we get up and we say, well, I just got one mercy. Hey, knucklehead and knuckleheads, He shows us mercy every day. Look at us. Look how messed up we are. Boy, you're quiet now. Yeah, you don't think you're messed up. You are. And but God says, I have mercies. I have mercy for this occasion. I have mercy for that occasion. I have mercy for that occasion and that occasion. Aren't you glad they're plural? It's just not one thing. It's not just Him having mercy as me as a pastor. He has mercy over me being a father. He had mercy over me being a husband. He has mercy over me being a businessman. He has mercy on me working in this church. Thank God for mercy. Amen. Let me go ahead and pull. I'm just going on. The fortress of His mercies. Verse 22 says that we are not consumed. Amen. I want you to know something. If mankind evaluated every one of us, there'd be somebody want to kick us out and just tear us apart. How many raise your hand right now and thank God that He's different? We're not consumed because of His mercy. There's times in all of our lives He should have just said, time for you to come to heaven. Now, I wouldn't mind heaven, but I wouldn't want to go there because I messed up. Time for you to go to heaven. Time for you to check out. But then he showed His mercy. Whew. Is that good? And then the freshness of His mercies. Listen, look here. Y'all ain't shouting, so I'll shout at my own preacher. I woke up this morning. And He said, I'm going to give you some more mercy today. They're new every morning. I'm going to wake up tomorrow. And guess what? God's going to say, here's some mercy. And I'm going to wake up I'm going to wake up Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And you say, what is He going to do? He's going to give me some more mercy. They're fresh. It's not stale. It's not It's not, oh no, they're fresh, they're new every morning. When the sun comes up, there they come. Whoa! And they last all day. Then the sun comes out of, whoa! You said you oughtn't to carry on. Well, I can't. Well, you just never had mercy given, do you? You ever get a touch of it you want to shout to? Oh, boy. I'm on point one. I'm straggling. And then the faithfulness. Not only are they new, they knew every morning. Now, here's something. Now, I just use Chad. Out of a 5-day week, I can count on him being on time 2 days. Am I right, my brother? From another mother. Now say it louder. Am I truthful? Now he's not way late. And every time he comes in, he said, Rachel. And she's back there beating him in the head, say, liar. Now he's not notoriously late. Just, and you don't you smile because you're just as bad as he is.
Father, forgive me.
I'm sitting there at 8 o'clock or 8:30 and I'm saying, doo, 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 doo. Yeah. And I'm 62 years old. His excuse is he's got a baby. And Chad's excuse is he is a baby. And well, aren't you glad? Every morning, he's faithful. I'm not faithful every morning. Are you? As you can set your clock on it, set your life on it, he's faithful every morning. Whew. Lord, that's a sermon built, and we can preach this by itself. And then the force of his mercies, his compassion fail not. We're not talking about somebody going to goof up. You get saved this morning, he's saving you forever. You get born again, you're in. You're not out and in. You're out and in. You're in. You're in forever. You got eternal security because his faithfulness endures forever. So, as some of you in this room right now, you would not be here on Sunday morning and you would have took your time this morning to come to church. If sometime down the road you're thinking, I'm going to go to heaven. I don't want to go to heaven. But what you don't understand is you could die before you get out that door. And the only thing that's keeping you from doing that is God's mercy. Number two, not only the oversight of God's mercy, the oversight of God's gift. Look at John 14 on your board here. Jesus answered and said unto her, that's the woman at the well. And by the way, she was a Samaritan. And he said, I must needs go to Samaria. That was the wrong way for Jews to go. They never went that way. But he said, he must needs, by the way, there's a day in your life. He said, I must needs to come to John Smith. And I must needs go to Dave Riddick. And why? Because God had something for me. And it was the gift of God. Woo! If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked him and he would have given thee living water.
Amen.
That's some of you, I'm going to get real downplaying right now. As some of you have overlooked the greatest thing in this world, and that's God's gift for salvation. I got saved when I was 21. You know what my statement was when I got saved? I wish I'd have got saved when I was 10. If only I'd done it earlier. It wasn't that I regret doing it at 21. It is that I regret letting some time get between me and God. But it's a gift. Hey, Chad, come up here. You got a good-looking suit on. And your dad's accountant. And you know what money is. Come up here. Hurry up, boy. See, always that lazy. Okay. What is that?
$5 bill.
Say it loud, boy.
$5 bill.
Do you like them?
Sure.
What would that get you?
I don't know. Maybe a golf ball.
You've been around him too long. And your dad. What else could it get you? Hamburger?
Sure.
Big Mac?
Sure.
Couple of them.
Maybe.
What if I said, Chad, this is yours if you want.
Thanks.
Go sit down. You sit down and shut up. Hold on a minute. God's son died on the cross. He finished the work. And all he's doing is, here's eternal life. Here's eternal life. Here's eternal life. I mean eternal life. I'm not talking about if you're bad, then you ain't. No. It's eternal life. All you got to do is get it. This morning, if you're lost, all you got to do is come up here and receive it. The work's already been done. He done finished the work on Calvary. It's a free gift. I'm not going to take that $5 back from him. I might have him go out and take me and get me a Big Mac and a fry, but I'm not going to do that. Listen to me. There's people you are stumbling your way to hell because you just don't know that all you got to do is come up and receive that gift. Accept it from me. Take it from me. It's right there for you. You know what's wrong? Your eyes are blinded by the devil. You are blinded by the god of this world. You're passing up the greatest thing in the world, eternal life through Christ. He finished the work for you. Why sent you there when you could have eternal life? God help us. Not only the gift of salvation, but the gift of the supernatural. Jesus said, I came to give you life. And it more abundantly. I'm afraid to say. How many of you saved today? Really saved? Raise your hand. Good. But I wonder how many. And I won't have you raise your hand now. Could raise your hand and say, I have abundant life. Mine's abundant. It's affecting everything in my life. It's so wonderful. It affects my job. It has affected my outlook. It's affected my marriage. Listen to me. There's some of you, you haven't let that supernatural work of God affect your home, affect your job, affect your attitude. Now, you can have a stinking rotten attitude and go on to heaven. But you can have abundant life and go on to heaven in the first class seat. How many fly a lot? Anybody fly a lot? I fly a lot. I used to. I don't do as much. But I'm going to be honest with you. If I go anywhere over 1,000 miles, I'm getting up in the first class seat. I got up there on the way to Israel. I paid extra to do it. Got up there. I didn't know the new technology. You hit a button, you can lay all the way down. And I didn't know them people back there's eating cold lasagna, and I got filet mignon. Oh, yeah, sorry. New York Strip on the way back. Of course, I wasn't hungry. I couldn't eat because they fed us. That's the best meal we ever had on the last day. Look at me. There's a lot of you sitting right in your seat right now this morning. You got a coach ticket. You got a coach ticket. You back there with your knees? Huh? I remember when we went to Jamaica. I was the only one got off first. Remember? Y'all had to stay to Sunday, and I went down on Saturday by myself. And I was looking. If you're fat as I was then, you look over the crowd and hope you're sitting with the skinniest person on the trip. But Andre the Giant was standing over there. You think I was big? He was 150 pounds bigger than I was. And he had one of them body shirts. And you'd already seen the sweat coming down. And I said, "Dear God, if you're real, please don't." I got on that plane last, and I walked in there, and it was full, and there's one empty seat. You said, "Where at?" Right beside Andre the Giant. You know what that dude did the first thing? You know what he did the first thing? I'm going to show you what he did. Hello? He couldn't sit there with me, so he had to sit like that with that armpit sticking next to my face. And I couldn't say, "You're over my space," because I was out in the aisle. Hello? Let me ask you something. Have you been overlooking God's supernatural work? I looked up at the first class seat, and I asked one of those ladies, they had one seat open up there. I said, "Ma'am, when you're sick, you use these." I said, "I got atrial fib, and I feel like I'm about to have an attack. I'm real crowded, and I feel real stuffy." And I was doing that. All those things were true. I said, "Anywhere else for me to sit?" I said, "I'm a Baptist preacher. I got to be ready to preach in the morning. I use anything. I'm here." She said, "Oh, come on, sir." She come up and put me in that first class seat. I went, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." I shout all over the place. Got flaming yawn too. Somebody say amen. But there's some of you in this room right now. Yes, you're saved. Yes, you're going to heaven. But you don't have a first class seat. You have chosen to be something else. You have chosen to lay down on God. You've chosen just to let your eternal security bring you into heaven. I say to you, there's an abundant Christian life. There's a servitude Christian life. There's a Christian life some of you have never experienced. Number three. In Luke 19:42 on your board, the oversight of God's peace. Saying, "If thou hadst known," there we go. "If I only known, even thou at least in this thy day, thine eyes which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes." Now we'll get real serious. If you only know the peace of God. You know what psychiatrists say is the number one problem in America? Guilt. 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 They look at their past and said, and they look at things they've done and they say, and how they operated in a home and in a work and every other way. And now they are facing guilt. Well, there's three kinds of pieces this morning. First of all, there's peace with God. You may not feel it because you're unsaved, but you are an enemy of God. You are hellbound. But God wants to reconcile you and give you peace between you and Him. And all I ask you to do this morning is throw up the white flag of surrender and say, "I surrender to the grace of God." And there's some of you this morning, all you can do is look back at the past. Forget the things that are behind, my Bible says. You know what your problem is? It's guilt. You know what God wants to do? Give you the peace of God. Well, I'll tell you, I'm a Christian just like you. We're living in a real tough world. And there's times I lose sleep. Shouldn't. It's a sin to worry. But I worry anyhow. It's a sin. If you're not trusting, you're worrying. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Then I see my struggle. I see the only help for me is God. Give me the peace of God that for a Christian that passeth all understanding. There's been some times I went in my pillow with my tears, and then all of a sudden there came a voice, a still small voice, and said, "You're going to make it. You're going to be all right. I'm your father. You're my son. And let me impute to you some peace." Hallelujah. There's people in this room that's Christians that you don't have peace. And then the peace from God. You said, what is that? That's when it comes again. That's when we don't have to face no more wars.
Amen.
Come on. We don't have to face a corrupt government. Come on. We don't have to look at our society that's going down the tubes. And it is going down the tubes. And everything that we treasure, church, our Second Amendment rights, everything's being in freedom zone right now. And I say to you, there is a day going to change all that. Because Christ is going to come and we'll have perfect peace. Lastly, and I'm done. If I'd only known. Luke 12:39, and this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and have not have suffered his house to be broken through. Can I say to you, a son is coming? It's going to be a sobering coming. It's going to be a stirring coming. And he's coming as a thief in the night. If that watchman only knew the thief was going to break in, he would have got him a security system. By the way, the Lord is coming. I'm about ready to shout again, about ready to move again. I got a security system. I want y'all to know if Jesus Christ comes, here's what's going to happen right now. If he comes right now, every Christian in this room is leaving the building. Every Christian in the graveyard is leaving the grave. And we're not going to bust up a bunch of holes in the wall either. They'll have church next Sunday. Right through the building. You say, that's not real. Well, Jesus came through a wall and didn't knock it down. And we're going to have a body like him. Let me ask you something. Man, I just want to ask you. Let me ask you this. You do know now. If you died today, you'd be in hell. You do know now if he'd come today, you'd be left behind. Then why in God's name will you let that happen? When the free gift's here. Christian, why are you going to go on in your own direction when God says, hey, I'll give you abundant life. I'll give you peace. And you're so, there's no peace in your home. There's no peace in your life. There's no peace in anything. You know why? You've never grasped hold of abundant life as a Christian. Bow your head with me.